Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, July 31st, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira. Among our top stories this evening, Environment Minister Opa Muchinguri Kashiri says Walter James Palmer, an American who killed the country's most famous lion, Cecil, should be extradited to face charges in Zimbabwe.
We are looking forward for his extradition so that he will be tried here for the crime that he committed.
Economists and labor experts say the government's move to ban the importation of used clothes will further strain the beleaguered informal sector.
We have a sizable number of our people who are surviving through this buying and selling of second-hand clothes, because that is the industry which is available.
And Zimbabwe Today launched a campaign to end child marriages, heeding a call by the African Union for all nations to urge their nationals to stop the practice. These stories and much, much more coming up. Zimbabwe's Environment Minister Opa Muchinguri Kashiri says American national Walter James Palmer, who killed the country's most famous lion called Cecil, should be extradited to the African country to face charges of poaching. Correspondent Thomas Cheripasi has more details from Harare.
Minister Muchinguri Kashiri told a news conference in Harare today that the country is devastated about the killing of the lion. She said Zimbabwe has started the process of extraditing Walter James Palmer from the United States to face poaching-related charges. Muchinguri Kashiri, who described the Minnesota dentist as a foreign poacher, said Palmer should be brought to Zimbabwe to face justice over the issue that has attracted international interest. She said Palmer's use of a bow and arrow against Cecil was in contravention of Zimbabwean hunting regulations.
I have already consulted with the authorities within the police force who have the responsibility of arresting the criminals. I'm happy that the two other criminals, the locals, have already appeared before our local courts, but we have certain processes that we have to follow, where I think the police will have to take the first step. Then they will approach the prosecutor general's office, who will approach the American government. And I understand that already the processes have started, and we are looking forward for his extradition so that he will be tried here for the crime that he committed.
The minister said the killing of Cecil the lion was well choreographed to taint the country's image, adding that this has worsened relations between Harare and Washington.
One can conclude with confidence that Dr. Palmer, being an American citizen, had a well-orchestrated agenda which would tarnish the image of Zimbabwe and further strain the relationship between Zimbabwe and the United States.
President Robert Mugabe's administration is accused by Washington and the rest of the international community of engaging in bad human rights practices and rigging elections, a charge that Harare denies. Top human rights lawyer Alec Mchadehama said it would be difficult for the U.S. government to release its citizen to face a trial in Zimbabwe, given the hostilities between Harare and Washington over the country's poor human rights record.
It's unlikely that that suspect is going to be extradited to Zimbabwe.
Two Zimbabwean men have been implicated in the killing of the lion. A professional hunter, Theo Bronkhorst, has been charged with failing to prevent an illegal hunt, which he denies, and prosecutors are deciding on the exact charges the landowner, Trimo Honest Ndlovu, should face. A bilateral extradition treaty between the U.S. and Zimbabwe has been in effect since 1997 in cases where an individual is charged with what would be a criminal offense in both countries. The American embassy in Harare says it is aware that a U.S. citizen was involved in the death of Sisu the lion. It could not shed light on Palmer's fate. Muchinguri Kashiri's call comes at a time when the White House is facing mounting pressure to extradite Palmer to Zimbabwe, as 160,000 people have signed a petition demanding justice for the killing of the famous lion. A White House spokesman has already said the Obama administration will respond to the petition, which it must do within 60 days. At the same time, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service said yesterday it was investigating the illegal killing of the lion by the Minnesota dentist and whether any U.S. laws were broken. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Economists and labor experts say the government's move to ban the importation of used clothes will further strain the beleaguered informal sector. Hundreds of Zimbabweans have resorted to selling used clothes as a way of raising income amid heavy job losses. Secretary General Japhet Moyo of the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions tells Studio 7 the government appears to have run out of ideas to rein in inflation and create new jobs.
It's not clear how government is going to go around implementing the fiscal policy did pronounce. Everyone is aware that government does not have the resources to implement such a process. Because you need money, government is broke, and government over the years have been talking about creating jobs with citizens. For them now to talk about releasing more people on the street, I think it's a contradiction.
We also note that the fiscal policy mentioned the banning of second-hand clothes. Then what's your comment?
But it has been, on the other side, an industry. It has been creating jobs. This is the informal economy I'm talking and I'm making reference to. We have a sizable number of our people who are surviving through this buying and selling of second-hand clothes because that is the industry which is available. I think the other reason is that many of our people don't have money, are not working, and it is cheaper for them to buy from these traders.
That was Japhet Moyo, the Secretary General of the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions. He spoke with Studio 7 on the line from Harare. Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa, in his mid-term fiscal policy, also announced that the government will reduce civil servants by 40% in an effort to curtail expenditure on the wage bill that is consuming more than 80% of its income per month. Zimbabwe Today launched a campaign to end early child marriages, heeding a call by the African Union for all nations to stop the practice. Thousands of people attended the event, including Beatrice Sawajge, director of Real Open Opportunities for Transformation Support, who spoke with our correspondent Mavis Gama.
We are excited about this gathering here, and I think it's very progressive as a country. We're also launching this campaign, but like you're saying, we need to translate this action that we're doing today, the launch, into practical ways of trying to address child marriage. And one of those is harmonizing the laws that we have. We have the customary law, which is silent on the age of marriage, and the Marriage Act, which says girls can consent to marriage at 16, which is not in line with the Constitution of Zimbabwe, which is the supreme law of the land that says any person who's under the age of 18 is a child. So moving forward, we now need to make sure that there is the harmonization of the laws with the Constitution of Zimbabwe. And we also need to even move further than that, because after harmonization, yes, you have a law that's now criminalizing child marriage. What happens within the communities? Are people equipped and empowered to utilize the pieces of legislation that we'll be having then that says any person who marries a person who is under the age of 18 is committed a crime? So we also need to move further and empower communities to be able to own this movement of ending child marriage, and for communities to be better placed to say we want to end child marriage, and they can self-police among themselves because when child marriage happens next door, I do not keep quiet about it. I'm aware that it's a crime. I'm aware of the processes that I can take for legal recourse to be achieved for that young person who would have been violated.
That was Beatrice Savage, Director of Real Open Opportunities for Transformation Support, speaking there with Studio 7's Mavis Gama in Harare. Manicaland Provincial Minister Mandichimene is attacked ZANU-PF Guru and Water Resources Minister Opam Chinguri Kashiri, saying she's a burden to the party. Our correspondent Lloyd Amoyo has more.
In an interview with Studio 7, Chimene called Muchinguri Kashiri names, saying she is not fit to be a ZANU-PF leader.
She said everything evil about Wanga. She told me personally, I'm a person who have lived an honest life.
Chimene said without elaborating, her clash with the minister dates back to the liberation struggle of the 1970s.
I will give you a genuine smile, not a crocodile smile. If you are wrong, I'll tell you there and then. If you are right, I'll praise you there and then. I have no reason to go behind anyone's back. I have no reason.
She claimed that the challenges faced in the province are a result of Muchinguri Kashiri.
I don't wish to be more than what I am. That's why it came as a surprise to me. Because I was contented with what I was that time.
Muchinguri Kashiri has already dismissed these allegations. Chimene said she is prepared to review what Muchinguri Kashiri did during the War of Liberation, and that would be embarrassing if given the chance.
But because I treat her as my own, I will never fight her. She's fighting herself. I cannot go to war with my companion. I can't. She bashes me left, right, and center.
The two ZANU-PF strong women have clashed on numerous occasions and nearly came to blows at one stage as the infighting within the ruling party intensified. Efforts to contact Muchinguri Kashiri were fruitless as she was not responding to calls on her mobile phone. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mutare, this is Lloyd Amoyo.
According to the state-controlled Herald newspaper, Muchinguri Kashiri recently claimed, among many other issues, that Chimene does not belong to Manicaland province. Coming up, Zimbabwe's Registrar General doubles in thorny issues of women's contraceptives.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 meter wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Now we take a look at regional and international news. Australian investigators say they are increasingly confident that a piece of plane debris found washed up on a Reunion island is a piece of the missing Malaysia airline flight MH370 that disappeared in March 2014 with 239 people on board. Researchers say an experimental Ebola vaccine is shown to be highly effective at preventing the deadly disease. And the International Olympic Committee has chosen Beijing to host the 2022 Winter Olympic Games over Almaty, Kazakhstan, the only other contender in the bid for an increasingly expensive event. Registrar General Tobaiwa Mudede has over the years been associated with Zimbabwe's voters' draw and running Zimbabwe's elections. But now he has found himself in another controversy, not in the field of elections, but in the use of modern contraceptives. As our correspondent Ivan Chifera reports, Mr. Mudede wants women to abandon contraceptives and use natural methods of birth control.
Not much is known about Mudede's interest in contraceptives and gender issues, as he has always been the face of a Home Affairs department struggling to register births and deaths, issue passports, and compile the country's voters' roll. A two-month delay in the announcement of the 2008 presidential election results is widely regarded as part of his signature, though the elections were partially under the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission. Forget about all these electoral processes conducted by the Registrar General's office, as Mdede appears to be now pushing for the dumping of women's contraceptives. He says women should abandon contraceptives, claiming that modern birth pill control methods are harmful. To grab the attention of the nation and perhaps the international community, he recently took his matter to the National Assembly's Women and Gender Portfolio Committee, where he claimed that birth control methods like Jadel, Depo Provera and Noplant are deadly and should not be used in Zimbabwe.
The effects that are on these drugs are deadly, and the effects are on these drugs have actually sent a fright to many people.
Mudede claimed to have carried out some research which he says indicated that these contraceptives have serious side effects like abnormal vision, depression, decreased libido and fatigue. Results of his research, which included newspaper cuttings, have not been validated by independent doctors and the Minister of Health. To prove his point, he brought to Parliament Chipoma Tuanyika and Mo Blessing Shava, who used Depo Provera and Jadel. This is what Shava said in Parliament.
I have a chest problem.
I experienced chest problems. I started to gain weight and to eat too much that my husband didn't like it. My libido decreased, and at one time I had a miscarriage. My health improved when I switched to natural methods.
But most stakeholders are skeptical about Mudede's so-called research, just like how they have doubted the way he has for more than 30 years struggled to register births and deaths, issue passports, and conduct crucial electoral processes in Zimbabwe. Dr. Munyaradzi Murugira, Executive Director of the Zimbabwe National Family Planning Council, dismisses the registrar's findings, noting that Noplant was phased out in the country in 1990.
For the past 15 years, we have been using new types of implants which are in country. We use Jadel, which is a two-rod implant, and recently we have introduced Implanon, which is a one-rod implant. So these newer implants have less side effects, more effective compared to Noplant.
Dr. Murugira says, like any other medical product, family planning methods have side effects, but not as serious as being portrayed by the Registrar General.
And there are millions of women who are using this product, and a small percentage of those women will definitely have side effects to the contraceptives. These products are rigorously tested by World Health Organization. In country, we have got what we call the Medicines Control Authority of Zimbabwe. They also look at these products.
Beata Nyampinga of the Women and Gender Parliamentary Portfolio Committee says Mudede's remarks are worrying many Zimbabwean women using some of these birth control methods.
It really sends some shockwaves to a lot of women of this country. They don't know what to use.
Other lawmakers are also worried. Parliamentarian Hubert Nyanongo says the Registrar General should work with the Minister of Health on this sensitive issue.
It is proper as you have come up with an idea to also work out liaise with the Minister of Health so that the Minister of Health can also conscientize the public, can also conscientize the nation.
Indications are that the Minister of Health is not interested in Mudede's work. Dr. Owen Mugurungi, the ministry's acting principal director for preventive services, says all medicine used in Zimbabwe is registered in the country of origin and rigorously tested by the Medicines Control Authority of Zimbabwe. Dr. Murugira agrees, stressing that despite the strict control on the importation of drugs, some are smuggled into the country and bought by locals in the black market.
We would want to urge women to use methods which they get from designated points, because a lot of our women are getting products from the black market. That's where we're getting a high risk of women using expired products.
Medicines Control Authority of Zimbabwe Director Gugumhlanga could not be reached for comment. The Zimbabwe Association of Obstetricians and Gynecologists dismissed Mudede's claims and urged women who are currently on hormonal contraception to continue using them. Chairperson of the Zimbabwe Doctors for Human Rights, Dr. Rutonde Bonde, said while Zimbabweans had a right to information around health issues, such information must come from credible and accredited sources in order to give them the right scientific-based information.
There is research which has been done by the Registrar General may be a good piece of research in its own sense and have its own merits. It must be subjected to peer review by those who are experts in that field.
According to Dr. Murwira, there is evidence that 27% of women who use natural birth control methods fall pregnant compared to less than 2% on modern contraceptives. Despite some flaws in Mudede's so-called research, the House of Assembly's Women and Gender Portfolio Committee is expected to produce a detailed report of its findings on the use of contraceptives in Zimbabwe. Some critics would have wanted to see the same probe into how the Registrar General's office has conducted electoral processes in Zimbabwe since Mudede took over the ward seat. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
And now an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Burundi's controversial presidential election is over, but the political crisis there continues following the National Electoral Commission's announcement that President Pierre Nkurunziza has won with over 69% of the vote. The balloting and electoral process have been broadly criticized as non-credible by the East African community and international partners, including President Obama during his recent visit to Kenya. The election, which was boycotted by opposition parties in protest of President Nkurunziza's intent to run for a third term, and the government's efforts to close media outlets and shut down political space, leaves the East African nation divided and in the throes of continued political turmoil. Many have criticized the government for violating democratic norms and for going forward with the voting despite the clear absence of conditions necessary for credible elections. The opposition says the president's re-election bid violated the Arusha Agreement, which ended Burundi's devastating civil war and remains the bedrock of the country's fragile stability. Major donors have suspended assistance and threatened to impose sanctions in response to the discredited electoral process and to hold accountable those responsible for human rights abuses. The commission's announcement on the electoral results culminates a deeply flawed electoral process, one marked by violence and a disregard for the civil and human rights of the citizens of Burundi. The United States is deeply disappointed by President Nkurunziza's violation of the Arusha Agreement and use of undemocratic means to maintain power through an electoral process that was neither credible nor legitimate. Moving forward, it is imperative that the government of Burundi re-engage in a meaningful, serious dialogue with opposition and civil society leaders to reach a consensus on how Burundi may regain the trust and confidence of its citizens and the international community and prevent even greater instability, economic collapse, refugee flows, and violence.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In sports news, after months of speculation about his future, Dynamos have fired coach David Mandigora for not delivering good results. Reporter Michael Cariati tells us who is now in charge.
Club chairman Kenny Mbaiwa said they relieved Mandigora of his duties this morning after failing to meet set targets. Mbaiwa said in the meantime, Mandigora's assistant Twende Raindira has been put in charge as Dimbare's search for a replacement. What is surprising is the fact that Mandigora has been fired at a time when his team is not doing all that badly and are only 3 points behind leaders Triangle. We're doing rounds in Harare, however, is to the effect that Dynamos are persuading Warriors coach Kalisto Pasua to return to the club. At the same time, Dynamos have been drawn to meet Wawa Prisons in the first round of the Chibuku Super Cup following the draw conducted at Zebra Bar in Mbare this afternoon. The Glamour Boys were represented by Treasurer Webster Marechera, who is wary of the prison warders having earlier lost to them in the league.
The draw was fair, but what I can say is that we shouldn't underestimate Wawa in this first round.
Defending champions FC Platinum have been drawn to face Longoso Mules, who are bottom of the 16-team Premier Soccer League assembly. The other pairings were as follows: Harare City versus Buffaloes, FC Platinum versus Dongo, Chapungu versus Flame Lily, Capes United versus ZPC Kariba, Aumine versus Highlanders, Triangle versus Cholocho, Wange versus Chicken Inn. Highlanders chairman for Harare chapter, Mode Mgwenya, says Haumain will be in for a hiding.
We're going to unleash our potential come the first round. So Haumain is in trouble.
Surprisingly, Capes United team manager Alois Punjira says the Green Machine were lucky to avoid Highlanders.
As long as we avoided Highlanders in the first round, we were fine.
FC Platinum won the Chibuku Super Cup last season. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
Thank you, Michael. We wait anxiously to see what happens at the weekend with sports between the big competing Super League championships in the Premier League. That's Highlanders Dynamos. I'm sure they are playing. So we will bring you news on that on Monday. Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will be talking with listeners and experts about the killing of Sisu the Lion in Zimbabwe. To join the discussion, please text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios. Stand-up comedy continues to grow in Zimbabwe's second largest city, Bulawayo, with one of them, Umakelisa Comedy Club, attracting large crowds in monthly shows. Our correspondent Joseph Njanji attended one of the shows and filed this report.
They said we need to get the vendors off the street and put the prostitutes on the street. You know, they said, no, you can't sell amapeli, you can't sell clothes on the street. Go and take off your clothes and come and sell on the street.
When the Umahlekisa Comedy Club came into existence a couple of years ago, only a handful of people would turn up for their shows. Fast forward to today and this scenario has changed completely, with the club now getting a lot of support from comedy lovers who throng their shows in large numbers. The founder of Umahlekisa Comedy Club, Ndandwe Nkosimoyo, says they've made a lot of progress in their 2 years of existence.
We are satisfied with the progress made so far. Initially, we didn't have much audiences, but now we've got a database of audience, people that come and fill up the venues.
Umahlekisa Comedy Club held a show to celebrate their second anniversary on March 28, and last month they hosted a show dubbed Konapo Konapo at Hope Center, where a number of comedians entertained fans. These included a Botswana national who goes by the name Stokisi.
When I came here, somebody told me that Stokisi means prison, so I changed it to Mube.
Upcoming comedians that showcased their skills during the Konapo Konapo show include Kanda and Skanyiso Mlambo, and they performed alongside their more established counterparts, Clive Chigubu, H.O., and Moy himself. Female comedians were represented by a lady named Nomsa, and Moy appealed to other females to come forward and be part of Umahlekisa Comedy Club.
The focus mainly is on the new guys that we've been grooming. We had a female performer on the last show, and we are still looking for more female performers, because since females seem to be shying away on coming up on the platform, it's one of the few challenges that we face.
This month, and the Umahlekisa Comedy Club will host a show whose title is So You Think You Can Laugh on 31 July at the Hope Center, which is along Leopold Takawira Avenue. Top comedians that are billed to perform during the show include stand-up comedy veteran Babangile Sikonjwa, Elando the General, Keith Nkosi, and Zwexi Makina.
Let me tell you a secret. South African men who don't have jobs because they don't want them. They let you do the work, then they'll come rob you. That's the definition of peers you get.
The 31 July show will be held in the evening, and Moyo said plans were underway to host afternoon shows that will ensure that comedy lovers attend with their families. Umahlekisa Comedy Club is currently working with local schools in a bid to spread the art form, and Moyo expressed optimism that talented students will soon be part of their planned afternoon shows. Reporting for Studio 7 in Bulawayo, I'm Joseph Njanji.
Thank you, Joseph. Now we recap today's top stories. Environment Minister Opam Chinguri Kashiri says American national Walter James Palmer, who killed the country's most famous lion called Sisu, should be extradited to the African country to face charges of poaching. Economists and labor experts say government's move to ban the importation of used clothes will further strain the beleaguered informal sector. And Zimbabwe Today launched a campaign to end early child marriages, hitting a call by the African Union for all nations to urge their nationals to stop the practice. That's our broadcast this evening. Now please stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Ntungamili Nkomo. This is Sandra Nyaira in Washington. Join us at 7 every evening for news in three languages. And visit us on the internet at www.studio7news.com for more on our top stories. You can send us an email to studio7@voanews.com. Good night, Zimbabwe. Wishing you a blessed weekend.